Good afternoon, all. Welcome to this, another edition of the Channel Drop-In with me, Glenn Robertson from Pure Channels. Once again, for the second time, absolutely delighted to be joined by Jane McBain, Senior Analyst at Forrester, who's dropped in this afternoon to give us a bit of an update, really. We know that there's been a global pandemic going on for the last few months. We know that it has impacted the channel. And we know a few other things as well about how prepared we were and how good we've been and how well we've been responding to the whole working from home or working remote environment. And what I'm very, very pleased that Jay's been able to drop in this afternoon. And we're going to spend the next few minutes with Jay dropping a bit more gold on us in terms of what he's seen, what we're kind of getting used to, and ultimately also what's going to happen out the other side. So Jay, thanks ever so much for joining us again. Over to you.
Well, thank you for having me. And the first time we spoke, we talked about the pandemic, and we were really in that triage stage of the pandemic. Here in the U.S., we went from pandemic to pandemonium with the riots and other civil unrest and other things. And now we're coming back into phase two of the pandemic. The curve may have been flattened, but now we're going through a secondary spike. So I'm in Florida, but the three most populous states in the U.S., which is California, Texas, and Florida, are all going through major, major spikes now, and didn't either flatten or eradicate the curve. So we're going into kind of stage two, and the stock market and other things haven't taken that into account yet, but. What we thought was the best case scenario when we talked the last time is only a 30% probability now. Wow. This idea that somehow we're going to recover in fourth quarter and it's going to be somewhat V-shaped and we're going to snap back to that great economy we had, late last year and early this year, it's just not going to happen. Right now, there's a 60% probability that we're moving into a scenario B, which is damaging, more damaging for the channel. And the channel is actually disproportionately affected in a scenario B. So what happens is this. So now we're into a recovery in mid-2021. It's more of a U-shaped recovery. You've got revenues of partners on average going to be down 11.8% this year and another 6% next year. So we think the average partner's revenue over the next 18 months is going to decline by 18%. And that's significant. It's a $386 billion drop in channel revenue globally. So it's a major haircut. We look at the major technology categories, obviously, from PCs to servers to printers over to all of the other software and services categories. But it's getting a little bit scary in scenario B. You've got computer equipment down 16%. You've got telco equipment down 17%. Tech services like consulting and system integration down close to 16%. So these are big numbers and big drops. These are the areas, by the way, where the channel plays 80% of a role in terms of getting those products to market. And some of the bright spots that we have coming in the summer, which is really phase two, around automation, around cloud acceleration, around some of the deeper level remote edge security, and risk and compliance around the customer experience, employee experience, e-commerce marketplaces where customers are going to start to invest money. Those are places where partners are only play about a 20 to 30% role in terms of transacting. So the bright spots, in this COVID next phase are not that well populated yet by the channel. So if there's ever a time to start looking at the infrastructure layer of the cloud, start looking at, security at a much deeper level than you have in the past. Start looking at, what the customers are doing from a line of business perspective. In many companies, the marketing buyer spends more money on tech than the IT buyer, the CIO. So starting to learn where those dollars are going and how to make money around those dollars are what we really need to do over the summertime and lift those 20 to 30% numbers, closer to 80% over the next couple of years, like we have in the other parts of infrastructure.
Amazing, Jay. I mean, quite staggering numbers, honestly. A $380 billion drop. I think you mentioned there. A lot of this is, you know, maybe as you quite rightly say, beyond expectation, right? Maybe we were living, maybe with fingers crossed or a little bit of hope, or not quite realizing the impact that this is going to have on us. Now, you know, we are seeing some examples of success and some examples of taking the opportunity out of this situation. But what is it? Are you seeing any of that, or do you see any place where the opportunity lies? Now, you've mentioned the infrastructure level of the cloud, the security piece, getting in touch more with where the dollars are, be it with pounds and dollars and euros are being spent. What is it on, you know, maybe on a practical level, genuinely day to day, that partners can do, or maybe that vendors need to do in order to support partners further through this?
Yeah, it's a great question. And one bright spot is actually managed services as a business model. So when I talked about those big 17% drops, managed services is only down 1.9% in scenario. Yep. So what we thought 20 years ago would be a resilient, predictable, stable, consistent business model, we would have never predicted a pandemic or pandemonium. But both of those things are holding true that it is a good business model. So, you know, we look at managed service providers, but I use 30% recurring revenue as my, you know, gate into that description. So almost every partner in the world now, every VAR and reseller, you know, has maybe one managed services contract, or at least they're adding it to their portfolio. So, you know, managed services itself is a very large thing. We got to focus on maybe moving some more of our business. And now might be the time to reduce cost, you know, at customers. They're looking for this in survival mode. They're looking at more stability and consistency. You know, this might be a time to start that type of messaging. And this could be a fruitful model. Once you're doing more managed services at clients, hopefully get access to more project-based work around, you know, for example, automation. This isn't robotic process automation or business process automation. Those are going to be growing opportunities over the summer, but it's just SaaS. It's looking at the different business applications that they have and using those SaaS platforms to build out workflows and business logic, to build out processes that are not as human in office centric. And that's what companies are really looking for in phase two here, is the breakage of what happened when people went home. Yeah. Is because every process built with a human gate in the middle of it, you know, built around an office environment. Yeah. So partners can help customers reimagine their businesses. And these aren't multi-million dollar digital transformation projects like an Accenture would work on. Yep. Because none of those are happening right now. These are very laser focused, pinpointed dollars that a customer is going to spend for the resiliency of their own business. And, you know, engaged into a customer opportunity at the line of business level, marketing, sales, operations, finance, HR, manufacturing, all the different lines of business is where these opportunities for automation are going to be. So it's not only getting there and getting in front of that buyer, you know, with these conversations, but it's getting in front of others as well in the ecosystem. There could be an accountant in there. There could be a digital agency in there. There could be a system integrator in there. There could be an ISV or a set of ISVs. There's probably seven of them in there on average. Mm. There could be a set of emerging tech companies, IoT, Internet of Things, AI, automation companies. Could be blockchain, could be quantum. I mean, there's all kinds of emerging tech. There's 800,000 of them. But the fact of the matter is, in these opportunities, you're going to partner more than you ever have in the past. It's not going to be single throat to choke, and it's not going to be a trusted advisor status, but you're going to bring your talent, you're going to bring your skills and your practices into these projects, and they should be fruitful and profitable as you weather the storm of some of these, you know, 17 and 16% drops in other categories.
Brilliant. Yeah, I agree. And I love the way that you touched on the whole digital transformation piece. You know, we've seen quite a lot over here, in certainly in EMEA, and a little bit in the US clients that we work with. You know, somewhere along the line, people have been found out a bit in terms of genuine digital transformation. Is there an element of maybe reality kicking in, or is there an element of, dare we call it, digital transformation 2.0, for example, in terms of, right, we heard a little bit about it, loads of people were talking about it, some of us have just been found out massively in terms of maybe getting it wrong or not doing quite as much as we should have done. Is it time for digital transformation 2.0, or do we call it something different?
It's like the cloud. I mean, we got a bunch of words we use that have different connotations and different usage, but it, to me, the label doesn't matter as much as understanding where the customer is and where they want to spend money.
Yeah.
So, you know, no one today is signing $1 million contract for anything.
Yeah.
So the fact of the matter is you've got to be very focused at a line item level. Like, this is a menu level item.
Yeah.
But they want to spend money in customer experience. And what that means, they want to spend money employee experience. So this is HR tech. They want to spend money in marketplaces and e-commerce. So there are very specific places that for those companies moving out of survival mode and into thinking about thriving and, you know, getting better on the back end of COVID against their competition, there is a lot of opportunity to go in and drive what would have been a transformational project,
but
very specific at that layer type of project. So that's the different thinking here, is that it's, you know, very much focused in line item level and, you know, having those right conversations and touching on what I talked about, automation, cloud acceleration, touching on, you know, new security and risk and compliance, touching on these new business opportunities, customer experience, employee experience, and then, you know, e-commerce marketplace. If you have skills in those areas and you can partner with others to have these conversations, there's going to be opportunity near term. We're talking July, August opportunity for those customers in spend mode.
Yeah, brilliant. I totally agree. I've spoken quite a bit recently, did a webinar yesterday with these types of things in mind. And you mentioned a couple of times there, customer experience. I know you've spoken about it quite a lot in the past. I have also, amongst some other colleagues as well, that, you know, we're making this, we cannot avoid the transfer and the transition of the importance that we place on customer experience into partner experience. Yeah, this whole piece from CX to PX. And how not only partners respond to the importance of that, because I genuinely believe that partners are starting to tune in and starting to switch and starting to become more and more and more powerful in a number of different ways in a number of different environments. And yet I also think that whilst we put the customer at the heart of everything, it's imperative that vendors start to also genuinely embrace the need for optimizing partner experience at every level in order to deliver the ultimate customer experience.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So when you think of it from a customer perspective, every company in every industry is basically becoming a tech company. You know, they're adding technology, they're adding Internet of Things. This goes down to a forklift. It goes across to, you know, almost every industry.
Yeah.
But the key thing that's changing is their business model. Everyone is converting to subscription. This whole managed services experiment 20 years ago is the right one, and it's probably the right one for every industry. So as a consumer, everything you buy today, from razors to toothbrushes, they want to convert you into a monthly recurring customer. And send you a toothbrush every month, you know, in your mailbox. So everything you buy is moving to subscription model, which changes the partnerships, changes the ecosystem. So Accenture did a big study, and 76% of CEOs globally in every industry and every size of company think that their current business model will be unrecognizable in 5 years.
Wow.
And number one reason why? Ecosystems.
Yeah.
So when I'm that forklift and I add an Internet of Things device that sends out 1,000 data points per second to the builder, the construction company, the architect, I've now built a tech ecosystem. I'm now partnered with Microsoft and AWS and Google and IBM and Oracle and SAP. I've got all these new partnerships, and I'm now talking to MSPs and VARs and resellers and integrators. You know, my dealer network that I've had for 50 years is only one element now of my channel. I've got this massive new ecosystem, and I now sell the forklift on a recurring basis. So I charge by how much it lifts, not by day, not by job site. So it's a completely different model.
Yeah.
And every company, so every one of your customers as a partner, every one of your customers as a vendor is going through that transformation, if you want to use that word still.
Yeah.
And the idea is this channel has that opportunity to take advantage of that and take vendors into those opportunities to really drive these new business models. So this all starts now. I mean, COVID doesn't delay what the inevitable is in a subscription-based, you know, new recurring business model of the future.
If anything, it gives us the perfect opportunity to speed it up, right? Not wait for something next to happen. It is now. It is happening. So it's kind of like maybe change the thought process, maybe change the way of thinking, maybe get out of the comfort zone of, well, we used to do this in the 90s or the early 2000s, and we kind of worked on that a little bit before and it didn't quite work. Well, it might not have worked then because everything was different. It's totally working now. It's completely the right time. And guess what? You better get on it.
And while people are at home as well, you know, when you work at a big company, and, you know, most of us have worked at big companies at one time or another. I worked at IBM for 17 years. Yeah. I would start the week and I would already have 38 out of 40 hours already booked in meetings for the week. And, you know, when people went home, you know, people looked at those 38 hours and said, you know, I may only need 20 of them. So people have a different future of work here. So as a vendor, have your people start to think about ecosystems and these new trifurcating channels, start to build out a different and have time to think about, have time to plan and strategize, work with Glenn, work with Pure Channels to really absorb this and also thrive on the back end of this. Don't come out of this COVID scenario next year with a gold, silver, bronze program and just perfuming the pig, the thing you've done every single year.
Yeah.
You know, come out of this with a new way of going to business that disrupts your industry, disrupts your competition, and, you know, builds a place where partners want to be, regardless of partner type. And you're going to build your own ecosystem, and that's going to be your own transformation going in the next few years.
And that is just a brilliant way to wrap this all up, Jay. Super, just fantastic conversation. You know, we enjoy these conversations, and you know, we could, I could certainly stay here and listen to you for many more hours, and I enjoy it, and I'm sure my listeners and viewers will enjoy it just as much. Is there any final closing comments you'd like to make about anything that you're working on, or any, you know, dare I say, promotions that you'd like to get out there, just to give anybody a bit of a heads up on what might be coming?
Yeah, I have nothing to promote, but I do have a channel software tech stack that's going to be launched probably today, June 26th. And that's 159 companies who build channel software, driving $2 billion in channel software revenue. And when I published it last year, it became the second most read document in the 37 years of Forrester history. So 75% of the world goes indirect through channels. Yeah. And it's a really popular topic, and people love looking at tech stacks. So it was a lot of work, hundreds of hours of work, but finally finished it sometime at like 4 a.m. last night.
Fantastic. Well, I'm certainly looking forward to seeing it. As soon as it comes out, I'll be having many a late night, I'm sure, going through it. And also we'll do our best to share it out there amongst our network and colleagues and clients and prospects as well. So, Jay, with that, it's Friday afternoon here. It's Friday morning with you. I wish you a great Friday, very happy, safe and healthy weekend. Best wishes also to the family, and I look forward to catching up with you soon. Thanks very much.
All right. Thanks so much. Take care.
Cheers, Jay.